Welkom to the Table of Hope Jordan podcast. Table of Hope is a grassroots initiative founded in 2023 by a group of international women living in Amman, Jordan, with a desire to build community while sharing a meal and together finding ways to empower and support women and children in Jordan. Enjoy!
Hi, and welcome to Table of Hope podcast. This is our first episode. Thank you so much for joining us, Daisy.
Thank you for having me.
I am Amanda, and I am one of the founders of Table of Hope. And we are so excited today to have Daisy from Squash Dreamers joining us. And this is Claudia, another founder of Table of Hope.
Hi, everyone. My name is Claudia.
Also excited to see Daisy here.
Thank you.
So she's from a great organization founded here in Amman, Jordan, and she's going to tell us more about Squash Dreamers and how she got started.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. So my name is Daisy. I'm originally from the UK, but I live and work here in Amman, Jordan, and I work for Squash Dreamers. We are a small community-based organization dedicated to empowering young refugee and underprivileged girls through sports and education. So we work with around 50 girls aged 8 to 18 on a long-term intensive program, meaning that these girls start when they're 8 and kind of go all the way through their childhood with us up to the age of 18 or until they finish school. Yeah. And we work with them 5 to 6 times a week. Basically, the girls that we work with come from two main areas of East Amman here in Jordan, two very impoverished areas of East Amman. And the girls that we work with come from families where their children go to government schools and families, our requirement is the family earns under 400 JDs a month, but the majority of our families earn under 200 JDs a month and some have no formal income whatsoever. So these children are very vulnerable. They live in areas where there is nowhere for them to go outside and play. There's no leisure activities. It's not really safe for them to be going out and about, and often the families are quite nervous about that, them with them being girls on their own, and they go to these government schools. And in East Amman, government schools are run on a shift system. So as a young girl, you would either go to school in the morning or in the afternoon. It can kind of vary in the time, but sometimes girls are only there for maybe 2 hours and in classes of like 55 to 60 kids.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, really difficult, obviously, to go to school and to learn and to get something out of school. So these girls that we work with often come to us with severe issues with their learning at school. They're really struggling at school. They're not doing very well, often very, very low sense of self, very low confidence, and with relatively few opportunities, at least as they perceive, for the future. And so we work with them on our program. They come to us during term time, 5 to 6 times a week, for around 2.5 hours. When school isn't on, they come for a longer period of time. It kind of varies. January and April and August, sorry, is when they're usually off school. So they're with us for around 5 hours, and we work with them on formalized English instruction. We do English conversation classes. We do one-to-one academic support in all school subjects. We also provide well-being and mental health support. On top of that, we provide a meal at every single session, food boxes every month. We do enrichment trips to music events, to art events, to galleries, etc. We do health and dental checkups every 6 months, and then we try and support the girls in accessing future opportunities. So for some girls that looks like playing in squash tournaments, which I didn't mention, we also do squash and fitness training. But for some for some girls that's playing in squash tournaments, for some girls that's becoming squash coaches, and for other girls that looks like scholarship opportunities and opportunities to either study somewhere else for high school or go on to university. So it's an amazing program filled with very amazing or inspiring girls.
It sounds so amazing.
And honestly, so yeah, you have so many different aspects. Yeah. Is it primarily volunteer based, or are these, you know, staff members of Squash Dreamers, or how does that?
So we have 5 or 6 members of staff. Oh God, I can't remember. I'm the only full-time member of staff, okay, but we have somebody who runs all of our fitness and well-being support. We have somebody who is our community liaison person. We have an English teacher, and we have 2 squash coaches. We also currently have somebody with us from Fulbright who's interning with us, who's lovely. And then aside from that, all of our other support comes from volunteers. So all of our academic support comes from volunteers who come in and teach one-to-one. They do science, math, history, anything. A lot of our English work is also done by volunteers. A lot of our fitness work is done by volunteers, and anything that we do that's artsy as well, the dentist and the doctor are always volunteers that come in as well.
Wow. And what's your background? What's your own background? How did you come in this place? And,
well, first thing to say is that I'm not a squash player, which I get asked all the time. I'm not a squash player. I am in Oman because I came over in 2018 to come and study Arabic. I'm from the UK. I was studying Arabic at the University of Exeter. And in our second year, we come over to Jordan and I came and studied here in Jordan at Qasid. And I'd been here for 3 months and I loved it and it was super exciting. I'm from like a very small village. So I came to the city and it was super overwhelming. And I wanted to find a way that I could try and get involved more with the local community, because I think it's super easy sometimes here for people who have come from outside, mm-hmm. you know, either from Europe, from America, from anywhere, to be quite separated from the local community. And so I wanted to do something. I've done a lot of volunteering in the UK where I could try and give back and support people locally. So I stumbled upon Squash Tree. It was honestly stumbled. Yeah. It was like a number that somebody had who'd given somebody else, and they were running something that day, that week. So I went in, volunteered, and at that point it had been started in 2017 by this amazing guy called Clay, who started basically with the idea of wanting to train young girls in squash. So he'd been working with another organization based here in Oman called Reclaim Childhood, and had trained some of the girls at Reclaim to be squash players, then approached the Jordan National Federation, and the federation said no because the girls were Syrian. So for him, he wanted to be able to give some of these girls this opportunity to play in his favourite sport. Alongside it, then added this little bit of an English component. And when I came in, it was squash with like a very small amount of English is what they were doing. So I came and taught colours the first day I ever went to squash cool. trainers, which was great fun, colours and shapes. And then after that point, continued going. I basically went every single day that week. Loved it. Went back to the UK and finished my degree. And then my final year of my degree, I got a call from the board, and they were saying they were looking to go in a new direction and bring somebody new on board, and they asked me if I'd come back.
Wow.
So when I came back, we had 7 girls and we were running squash and occasional English.
Wow.
And now we do everything.
Remind us how many girls you have currently?
50.
And 50. Is there a waiting list of more?
Yes, we are completely overwhelmed with people wanting to be part of squash streamers. When we first ever started, it was difficult because you go out into a community, and even when you have somebody who is part of that community, you know, you're going to mums and you're going, okay, I want to take your daughter and I want to take her to come and play squash, which is a sport you've never heard of, and take her to a place that, you know, on her own.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to get people to trust to begin with. But, you know, we were able to by going, like, you know, we're doing sports, we're doing education, we're doing all these other things, and had this amazing trust from the local community. But now we have the opposite problem. So we now do not have to do any recruitment whatsoever.
Well,
everybody comes
to
us.
To you. Yeah.
Because people are looking around in the local community and going, who's this girl who speaks really good English? Who's this girl who's doing really well at school, who's super confident in herself, who has these plans to go to university?
Yeah.
You know, who's getting scholarship opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. So we have a waiting list, which is the equivalent of the girls that we currently have. So our waiting list is 100% full, and we have an informal knowledge of the fact that there are at least, if I opened up the registration tomorrow, we would have 100 kids within about 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how do you fund all of that? How is this organization funded?
So we are funded by donations and by kind of grants given to us. We're funded majority from the US, like I say, from either family foundations or from individuals or from fundraising events. Yeah, so we don't receive any government funding or anything like that. And we're a very, very small organisation. We do a lot. I think we do a lot with the very small amount of money that we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you can see it. For sure. Yeah. So that's where we get a lot of our funding and our support from. And we're trying as hard as we can to try and increase that, because the reason we can't take any more kids is because we don't have enough funding.
Yeah.
The reason that we can't operate more times a week is because we don't have enough funding. The reason we can't bring on a math teacher is because we don't have enough funding.
Yeah. So if people would want to help you, how could they do that?
Lots of different ways. If you are based in Oman, you are welcome to come and volunteer with us. You can get in touch with us by looking us up on Instagram or online at squashstreamers.org. And if you click on there, you'll find ways to get involved through volunteering. You'll find ways to get involved by donating. When I say donating, I mean kind of we need shelves at the moment. We always need books. We always need toothbrushes, toothpaste, this kind of thing. And there's often a list on the website of things that you can look through that you can come and bring to us. If you're not in Amman, or even if you are in Amman and you'd like to give us support us financially, you can do that again through looking at our website. And I think this is always the case with so many of these very small NGOs. We are 100% community facing. Every mm-hmm. single one of our members of staff, and I'm the only full-time member of staff, is community facing. I'm at every single yeah. session. So every single dollar is spent on a book, is spent on teaching, is spent on the bus that gets the girls to and from Squash Dreamers. Yeah, is spent. Yeah.
It's very well spent.
It's spent on things that go directly yeah. towards support.
And they know you,
dream, I guess. Yes.
Right? They right? know you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it is spent on the dream. And
so what do these girls dream about?
Good question. I love talking about this because we're obviously Squash Dreamers, and that was why the name came about, because it was all about empowering girls to dream
yeah.
and empowering girls to believe that they are worth so much more than they had been conditioned to believe.
Yeah.
I was sat with a girl the other week, and we were having a chat, and I said to her exactly that question. I was like, what's your dream? And she told me that she wants to be an architectural engineer. And I was like, well, that's amazing. That's, you know, this is super, this is so exciting.
It's a really nice ambition.
A really nice ambition. And I said to her, I was like, what was your dream before you were at Squash Dreamers? And she paused for a second, and she went, I don't think I ever had a dream before I came to Squash Dreamers.
Yeah.
And for so many of these girls, it's, you know, yes, it's, you know, it's squash, it's academic support, it's meals, it's everything, but it's essence.
It's the whole package.
It's family, and it's people who believe in them. And this particular girl, when she started when she was 11, and she couldn't read or write in Arabic, which obviously the spoken language in Jordan. So she was completely illiterate, and we had to help her. You know, we looked at her grades and go, well, of course you're failing at school because you can't read the books and you can't write what you're being asked to do. And so, you know, we supported her through that to get her to the point at which she's now like, I'm going to be an architectural engineer. And we have these stories quite a lot of girls who come in kind of in very difficult situations, girls who come in on, you know, a whole spectrum of things, whose family don't have enough, who aren't able to put food on the table.
Yeah.
Girls who are really, really struggling at school, girls who are really, really struggling in their self-confidence. We had a young girl who joined Squash Dreamers, and when she started at a point which we weren't taking on any new girls, but basically her mother approached us and said, look, I'm really worried about her, would you take her into the program? And I'm a softie, and we said yes, and she
rightfully
came
so.
Of course,
right?
Of course. And she came on the first day. And the reason that we said yes was because she had an extreme amount of trauma in her life. She'd grown up in Syria. She had left Syria quite late on into the very violent things that were happening there. She'd been living in a very tricky area of Syria, lost a lot of members of family.
Yeah.
And she was in Jordan, and her sister fell off a balcony and was very, very sick. And her mother took the sister to hospital. And during that period of time, there was no one to stay home with her
and take care of her.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And her brothers and sisters. So,
or about, help her with school or with life in general.
Exactly. Yeah. And so for about a month and a half, she was at home on her own.
Oh, wow.
Looking after her brothers and sisters. And after this, through the social isolation and the sadness, she kind of stopped talking. And she came to us at Squash Dreamers, and she was really, really struggling with everything. And the first day that she came, she didn't say anything, didn't speak to anyone. And, you know, it was the day was kind of capitulated with her just crying maybe every like half an hour. And she's the girl who wants to be the architectural engineer.
Oh,
and
wow,
she's the girl that when you come into Squash Dreamers is one of the first kids off the bus who rugby tackles me and every other member of staff for a cuddle.
That's
who
was
the first person with her hand up in the class, who is an incredible squash player. And you look at this and you go, all of these girls are so able. Every single one of them is so able, and they are so worthy of support and worthy of achieving all that they want to achieve.
Totally.
But sometimes they are just missing that basic moment for somebody to say, I believe in you and I know I can do this. And then they can tell themselves that as
well. Yeah, that's really wonderful. And I think talking about dreams, did we hear correctly that there's a few of the girls going to the UK in the summer?
Yes, there are.
What are they going to do there?
So we have 7 girls going on scholarships to the UK. We have one girl who's going up to the north of England to go on a squash placement for 2 to 3 weeks. She's an excellent squash player. She's really, really good. We sometimes beat the Jordanian national team when she plays. And then we have 2 girls going and studying English at Camford School in Dorset. And then we have 4 girls who are going to be studying pre-university courses in Cambridge. 2 girls doing pre-med and 2 girls doing pre-psychology. So it's
talking
amazing.
About changing a future. This is changing a future.
No, it really does. You know, a lot of these kids never travelled before. We are the ones that are getting them the passports and this kind of thing. And again, for them, you know, they go to the UK and they, every time they get this kind of opportunity, it goes, I am capable, I am able, I am worthy of so much more. So it's very exciting. Currently, we're in the midst of trying to do passports and visas and flights and all sorts, which we're also fundraising for at the moment because it's very expensive. You know, it's not just flights, but we have to buy passports, which come at just over $700 each for a Syrian passport.
Yeah.
So
you could use some funding.
We could do with some funding. We could do some funding.
And to make this opportunity available for more of the girls that you have that are already in your program and give them the same experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're really lucky. We've literally just moved into our own space. We used to work in an area called Sport City and we've just moved into our own space in Hashmish Valley. And that has given us so much more flexibility on being able to provide for the girls when they come in. We have a lot more flexibility on time, etc., etc. We're now able to do full dinner before they leave. We'll be able to do lunch in the summer.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But I'm looking at this and I'm going, if we just had this little bit of extra money, I could pay for the bus to come in a couple of extra days. I could pay for this teacher to stay longer. Because for these kids, they were joking and they were going, okay, Miss Daisy, welcome to our new house. Because that's what they see it as. It's that we created an emotional home and for them, this has become their physical home.
That's amazing.
I have to share that I visited and it did feel like I was walking into their home. Yeah. I mean, when everyone arrived and got off the bus, I mean, it was just energy, like amazing, positive energy. I'd never, you know, met or seen any of these girls and they had never seen me and they just ran up and gave me hugs and they welcomed me. And
it's a really, really happy place.
Yeah.
It's a really happy place. And we have, you know, we have new girls that join on occasion. And every time one of those new girls join, I kind of go, oh God, you know, is she going to be okay? And it's a little bit overwhelming. There's a lot of people here. And immediately, whereas it used to be the staff who go and they kind of go, you know, how are you feeling? Are you all right? You know, don't worry if you don't feel like you're doing super well today. You're here to learn. I literally the other week was about to go over and do that, turned around and I was like, oh, the girls are doing it. So the other kids from Squash Dreamers have gone over to be like, don't worry, you don't have to be nervous if you're not regular English. We're
talking
here to
about
learn.
Paying it forward, right?
Exactly.
It's, like,
and
so
it's
cool.
It's an evolving community in which everybody kind of feeds into each other. So
amazing.
It's really, really
I think it's an amazing story and I think
thank
you're
you.
Doing wonderful work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you for sharing that with us and thank you for being our first
very first podcast.
This is really exciting. Well, I hope the podcast goes really well. And thank you for Table of Hope for hosting me on the podcast today. Like I say, anybody who would like to get involved, whether in Jordan or abroad, please hop onto our website, please hop onto our Instagram, send us a message, send us an email, anything. If you feel inspired but you don't know what you can do, that's also fine. Just send us an email and I'm sure we can find something for you to do.
Definitely sounds like it.
It's all about community and it's all about coming together and being able to come and share with you guys today just opens up more opportunities for, you know, who knows, maybe somebody's listening who could find one of the girls a scholarship place at their school or something
like
that. So
that would be so lovely.
It would be lovely and thank you for having
great.
Me.
Great. Thank
you very much.
Thanks, guys.
We hope this podcast helps to bring the recognition this organization deserves. If you would like to volunteer, donate, or learn more, please see the show notes for more details. Thank you.